is a Fox News alert. There is a big bull run at the stock markets. I'm Dave Anthony. The Dow is surging well over 1,000 points on positive coronavirus vaccine news. Fox's Lillian Wu watching Wall Street live here in New York.
Dave, the Dow hit an all-time high this morning, up 5.5%, more than 1,500 points on those very promising results from Pfizer and BioNTech on a vaccine candidate. The drug makers say the latest Phase 3 trials have found the coronavirus vaccine 90% effective. Pfizer wants to ask regulators for the green light on the two-dose vaccine by the end of the month. Now, the Dow is off its earlier highs, about 1,100 points right now. S&P up over 100, NASDAQ 90. Travel, restaurant, and hospitality sectors doing especially well, Dave.
Lillian, President-elect Joe Biden is readying his own coronavirus task force.
Today, the Biden campaign is starting to begin to try to turn all the big talk about beating COVID-19 into a plan of action. We've got three co-chairs. They are Dr. David Kessler, Dr. Vivek Murthy, the former Surgeon General, and Dr. Marcella Nunez-Smith.
Fox's Peter Doocy. Biden wants a nationwide mask mandate. A 180 from the Trump campaign, which had told Fox the president was planning rallies to keep making his case for victory, but now a campaign official tells Fox that won't happen, but there could be some grassroots events. This has more legal challenges loom, claiming there was voter fraud and intimidation in some states.
Trump campaign advisor Jason Miller on Fox Business confirming that the campaign plans to contest election results in several states.
I would expect to see lawsuits in Pennsylvania, most likely in Michigan, potentially in some other states as well. We already filed our lawsuit in Arizona on Saturday night.
Fox News has projected that Joe Biden won Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Michigan.
Fox's John Decker in Michigan, the president, is trailing by 146,000 votes. America's listening to Fox News.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale. They're releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Yes, everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Time's running out to win over $2 million from Publishers Clearing House. Enter at PCH.com, and your family could soon be celebrating the win of a lifetime. The $2,500,000 mega prize is guaranteed to be awarded this December. Go to PCH.com before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want to win big. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 11/29. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Is your air conditioning system ready? This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. They have been cooling and heating Yuma since 1955, and they can replace your old and inefficient AC system. Now is the best time to replace your AC system. Special financing is available for up to 60 months. New AC systems are 30 to 40% more energy efficient than those installed just 10 years ago. Bottom line, Quick Refrigeration can keep you cool and save you money. Special financing and reduced energy bills are yours. All you have to do is place a call and request a visit from one of their professional technicians. Start the saving today. Call Quick Refrigeration at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Pleasant days, cool nights. This week, sunny and 69 the high today, 44 overnight tonight with a 10-mile-per-hour wind. Sunny and 73 tomorrow, 45 tomorrow night, winds at 10 again out of the west. And then Wednesday, mostly sunny and 76, 47 Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. Welcome back to the show. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Pushing buttons, rolling dials, and doing jumping jacks.
Just trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
I'll get it done.
And you were talking in the last segment with Mel, Russ, about the impending election results.
We don't know.
Ultimately, the media knows, but we don't.
My daughter called me in tears.
Did she?
said it's over, Dad. It's president-elect Biden. I said, no, baby, that's the media saying that. That's not reality. It has to be certified by the state.
In Arizona, we've got until November 30th to certify the actual vote count, and as of this morning, the huge, massive lead that former Vice President Joe Biden had over Trump here at home in Arizona has dwindled, and now we're down to about 16,000 votes, differentiates between Biden and Trump. And so Biden, what that means is Biden has about 49.5% of the vote in Arizona, according to the latest tabulations, and that leaves 49% for Trump. You've got Jorgensen in there as well for the
Libertarian
vote. Yeah. And so she takes a little bit away. But as far as this morning, it's getting closer. They've got about, what is it, Russ? About
70,000, not that many. So I don't know if it's
70,000 ballots, I think, remain to be counted.
Unless you find some peculiarities that were wrong on top of it, I think.
Right. And so
but if we get a recount, there's that opportunity.
And in Arizona, an automatic recount is triggered if it gets within a margin of about 1%. So that we're heading towards that, it looks like. And as of today, by the end of today, we ought to know, I imagine, where the numbers stand and if that automatic recount is going to be triggered. Even if there's not an automatic recount, the Trump administration can call for a recount. It's just not an automatic right at that point. And obviously, they've got lawsuits going in several different states, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, another one in Georgia as well. So President Trump has teams throughout the country looking at the elections and making sure that all valid legal votes are counted and those that are not valid or not legal not be counted. And the media put forth on Saturday that the president-elect would be Joe Biden. And like you said, Russ, that's really just posturing. And I think the Democratic Party learned from the Gore Bush Jr.
Gore announced he was president-elect for 38 days.
Yeah.
He just never was able to make that a reality.
And in that particular situation, election night, Gore never came out, I don't think. He never kind of took the reins there. And so you saw last Wednesday, early in the morning, President come out after Vice President Joe Biden came out saying, you know, we're probably gonna win this thing. He wasn't as matter of fact at that particular time, but he was posturing in such a way to show, you know, strength, because I think the Democratic Party felt like back when this happened with Gore Bush, that Gore didn't do a good job kind of just grabbing the power, grabbing the position and speaking. And so they obviously pushed out Joe Biden first, and he stumbled out there, you know, at 1, 2 in the morning, trying to
do an acceptance speech, but it's not over.
Right.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's
and then we got Republicans out there telling Trump he should give up, like Mitt Romney. Can you see that? Romney came out and said it's not democratic to do the lawsuits. What is he talking about?
It's interesting because the actual Attorney General of Utah was called in to go over, and I say that because Mitt Romney is a senator from Utah,
right.
But the Attorney General, on his own volition, took a leave of absence, and he's going over to Nevada to litigate that particular lawsuit that the Trump administration is pushing forward. Reyes is his name, Attorney General Reyes. If you look up that guy's background, he is awesome. He is, I think he's like half Polynesian, half Hispanic. And I think he's fluent in Espanol. I was about to say fluent in Spanish. But the guy is just awesome. If you look him up, he went to BYU for his undergrad, and then I think over to Cal State, I think, for maybe law school.
But he's aggressive, huh?
He's awesome. He's just very smart, very meticulous.
You seem to have this love for the law.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And we need law and order here in the U.S.
And
we have it. We have it. It'll get there.
We do. There's some disappointing things that go on, but that's anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but we need to clean it up.
We do. And there are processes in place to do that. And
Right. Ultimately,
we've got the Supreme Court that can decide things, especially in these voting type elections. And now it's interesting that we're seeing everything play out that we had foreseen or that was put forward prior to this actual election.
Well, we've been talking about it for a while, what was going to happen, and here it is. Here we are.
Yeah, you had the Democratic Party trying to push Trump in those debates, try to say or get him caught in such a way that he would say whether or not he was going to litigate, you know, or was he just going to pass the torch and stand off to the side. And he wouldn't say that. He said, I want to have a fair election, and he kept saying that. And
right.
If he needed to litigate, he's going to litigate.
Well, he asked, would you leave the White House if you don't win, type stuff. And there was questions, crazy questions in the media, like, do you think we'll have to get the National Guard out to force the president to leave the White House? And I was wondering, why are they saying all this stuff? What is all? Well,
he's
going to
squat. Yeah, exactly. He's going to squat in the White House. That's an odd thing, especially during COVID times. I mean, if you really want to play that out, right now, technically, it's very difficult to get a tenant out. And so if they're going to try to evict the president,
that would be hilarious. That would be really.
You can't touch me, man. It's COVID. I got COVID. I can't pay my rent.
Like, I don't recommend it, but I'd respect it.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to play the game, you know? You got to play the game. We got to go to a break. This is Live Death and the Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
Thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, Only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation.
Arizona's deaf, hard of hearing, and deafblind community is disproportionately unemployed. Those that do have jobs are typically underpaid. That's why the Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing has launched Let's Get to Work, the first ever statewide employment initiative undertaken by the Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. Learn more at changeyourperception.org. The commission is here to help Arizona businesses hire our community members. That's changeyourperception.org.
Introducing Senstar, an all-new fast-acting, long-lasting insecticide from Valent USA. With two effective modes of action, Senstar provides stellar control of whiteflies, aphids, thrips, and psyllids, protecting vegetables from unwanted invasions. Quickly eliminate pests at all life stages, including eggs, and boost your insect control with new Senstar from Valent.
And we have liftoff.
Contact your PCA or visit valent.com/senstar.
Always read and follow label instructions.
We could all use a little more joy this holiday season. That's why I've been gifting Arizona Lottery holiday tickets left and right.
Ooh!
With over $26 million in cash prizes and $400,000 in second chance cash prizes, it's no wonder people jump with joy.
Woohoo!
Break out into song. And get festive. So what do you say? Are you ready to give the gift of joy this year with the new Arizona Lottery holiday tickets?
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. Prior to the break, we were talking about the counts in Arizona, how they are getting there. We're almost 100% reporting from all the counties, and in that process, the lead that Joe Biden had over the president is dwindling. It's down to 16,000, around there, 16,952 votes, divide them. And by the end of the day, I imagine, well, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow, they've got 70,000 votes that they still have to go through, and that's just going through the process. And then once they've done that, if there is a gap of less than 1% between Joe Biden and the president, that will trigger an automatic recount. And if there isn't, then I imagine the Trump administration is going to push for a recount, and they can do that. They can petition the state, the Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, to do a recount, and they'll go in, I think, one by one, and they'll start validating these votes, these ballots, one by one. There was a Maricopa County court action that was filed, if not Friday, it was last Thursday.
For what?
Hashtag #SharpieGate. You've probably seen this or heard about this on Facebook. There are several videos going around.
I've seen it.
Voters leaving the polling stations up in around Queen Creek or throughout the valley up in Maricopa County, and they're claiming that when they went in to vote, they were handed Sharpies, and the Sharpies bled through on that particular ballot. So when you would scan that through the Scantron, it wouldn't read it, or it would reject it in some form or fashion. And according to the lawsuit, I've read the pleadings, and the lawsuit said that in this particular case where the lady that is actually suing the Secretary of State, she alleged that her Scantron went through, the ballot went through the machine, and it rejected it. And she knew that, the ballot helper knew that, and basically she said, you don't have another opportunity to cure it, it'll be okay. And so she was kind of disenfranchised. She felt, well, I want to know for a fact that my vote went through. And I can see both sides of that, because my understanding is ultimately it will be hand counted, even if it didn't computerize that Scantron. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what I've heard. And so if that's the fact, then the voter helper there in the booth, the poll worker, he or she was probably thinking, well, yeah, it's going to be counted anyway. You don't need to worry about it. It's a valid vote. So go on your merry way. We got to get people through here. And for the lady that was voting, she feels like my vote didn't count, you know, and my voice isn't being heard. And I feel like it's because of this Sharpie that you handed me, and you didn't allow me to use anything else, any other instrument. And so that's the allegation in the case. I don't know, you know, how successful that is going to be, because I've heard both things. But obviously, I've got different media sources that I'm reading, and so some say this is ridiculous. That Sharpies will work. You know, it's not a big deal. They might bleed through, but it's going to work.
But we don't know. And somebody suggested the other day, he says, well, why don't we get a machine? We do a bunch of Sharpies, and run them through and see. No one's done that. We're not doing that.
Right.
It would make everyone know, yes or no, for sure, versus all these opinions.
And I would just rather a person, a human, just count them. You know, we don't need to worry about the actual machines. And I think that ultimately will happen. I think that's what is going to happen. Ultimately, we have, under the laws of Arizona, we have until November 30th, I say we, our Secretary of State has till November 30th to present the actual count to the Electoral College so they can move forward with making their case for those 11 votes. And if you're familiar with the Electoral College, the reason we have 11 votes is because we've got 9 House of Representatives in Arizona. That's based on population in the state of Arizona. So every county, when you add up the population, we're allowed 9 at this current time representatives in the House up in Washington. We also have 2 senators. Every state has 2 senators. So when you add the 9 House of Representatives and the 2 senators, that comes out to 11. That's why we get 11 votes in the Electoral College. And that's why Arizona's worth 11. And that's why Florida's worth, what is it, like
29,
I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, and California's the big one.
38, maybe?
Yeah, Texas is another big one. So you can see that the more concentrated populations will have a lot more gravitas in the Electoral College because of population. And that was the way that the founders wanted it. They didn't want a huge amount of concentration.
But it gives every state a voice.
That's right. So they didn't want the rural states to be disenfranchised. I kind of feel like, as I was thinking about this concept of the Electoral College, I think it's honestly ingenious. It really was an ingenious method of keeping things sort of on the same playing field, because if you look at the map of Arizona right now, you've got all the counties are red, with the exception of, I think, 3 that are purple, because you've got a mix there, Maricopa County, Pima County with Tucson in it, and then going up north, you've got some of the, I think of them as kind of like the Indian reservation counties that are tending to be purple. And so when you add those up, right now, that is, you know, dominating our state. But in reality, there are so many more counties that have a lot more, that there are so many more counties, population-wise, that are voting for Trump in comparison to those that are not. And so I'm thinking, well, had we had the Electoral College in Arizona, then we wouldn't have a problem with President Trump moving forward. We would win that easily, because these rural counties primarily vote for Republicans or conservative values. You got the farming communities over in Gila Valley. You've got the Cochise County, old school Tombstone, Bisbee.
But the state's a single number.
That's right.
That's it.
Yep.
Win or lose, winner takes all.
That's right.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if it's legitimate, and we'll see.
Oh, and I was wrong on the Electoral College for California. It's 55.
55. That's the big granddaddy.
Yeah, and 38 in Texas.
Yeah, and 29, I believe, in Florida.
That was correct.
And Georgia's got quite a bit. Pennsylvania's got quite a bit. If you think
Georgia's 18 and Pennsylvania's 20.
Heavily concentrated areas, and they're small states, but they've got a lot of population going on, a lot of representation in the House. And again, every state has 2 senators. That's all they get. It's just 2. But we all have different. What are you going to say?
I was going to say some states like Delaware has only 1 House member, so they get a total of 3.
Yeah.
Total of 3. That's it.
Right.
Not a big deal.
Yeah. And then you've got these weird, like, congressional districts that are, one is in Nebraska, and then one's up north by Maine. I don't understand that, but I haven't really looked into it because I don't really care.
That's
like 1 vote each.
Yeah, that's a state thing. They voted that in themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting. irrelevant, really, when it comes to the grand total of 270. But as far as Arizona is concerned, we've got the 11 because of our House of Representatives are 9, and we've got the 2 senators. You add that up, that's the amount of votes that we get to go towards the Electoral College. How are those people picked? The Electoral College people in Arizona are picked usually by the dominating party. So what that means is that if the Democratic Party candidate wins, then they'll have the opportunity to put forward their candidates for the Electoral College representation. Now, some states will say in their constitution or in their actual statutes, they'll say that those that are chosen, those members of the Electoral College, they have a duty to vote what the people, the majority vote of the people of that particular state. Meaning, if, give you an example, if Biden wins and then you send, and then the Electoral College member goes to Washington or to the Electoral College and says, actually, I'm voting for Trump, that would be a violation. They'd have some issues with that legally. They can do it, and their vote's going to move forward, but they're personally going to be liable in some form or fashion. So there are some states that have those penalties, but there are some states that don't. So that doesn't mean that you couldn't have a rogue Electoral College member just say, I don't care what the people of Arizona say, I want Biden or I want Trump. You know, they can do that, but they'll reap the consequences personally about that. But it is possible. I've never seen it. We've never seen it. They'll usually go along with the actual majority vote, even when it's a party that they didn't want to win, you know. So, for example, if it was a Republican that's elected to the Electoral College, they're going to move forward with the Biden vote. That's just tradition.
Yeah. Well, the party's not going to pick somebody they don't trust.
That's right. Yeah, you don't have these rogue people. You're going to have lock and step people that are going to move forward in the Electoral College because they don't want the surprises. Which would be hilarious, but it would be a surprise. Yeah, and so that's the way that the Electoral College works. And we'll see if that survives. If Biden is elected, then that might go away. I mean, the last election, the big outcry was that the Electoral College...
It can't. It's in the Constitution.
Oh, it can go away. Anything can go away.
Well, it can go away, but it would take an amendment.
Yeah,
that's not
true.
That easy.
No, and you'd have to have the Senate and the House in participation with that,
and
along with the President.
And then it's got to be ratified by the states.
And this brings up the point that I've been going over in my mind, you know, over this past week, really, as I watched the counts in all these states tally up, and it looks like, on paper, it looks like Joe Biden will be the next president. That's what it looks like. I'm not saying that. I think that these votes are tallied up. I think it'll be closer. It's going to be razor sharp, thin edge, close. But if President or Vice President Biden is the next president, then we'll see some dramatic changes. But I honestly think we won't. I know that's contradictory, but I think he'll be able to change things in foreign affairs, because that's what the president's duty is. He doesn't really need to go through Congress to get that done. So we've got trade agreements with, we've had them, the Paris Accords, we've had the Iran nuclear deal, we've had these agreements with China and with the Russian government that Trump got out of. He got out of the UN, he got out of the
Paris Accords.
UNICEF, yeah, all this kind of stuff. And his argument was, listen, we are the number one contributor to these organizations, and we're getting taken advantage of. We don't reap any benefits from this. Everybody just sucks off of us.
Well, and he forced NATO to have all the states, the countries, start paying up. Pay what you agreed to.
Yeah, and I get that. You know, from a negotiation standpoint, as I thought this through in my mind, I recognize that. You've got to be able to, when you go into a negotiation, oftentimes you ask for the world. Both sides will. I want these terms. And the other side will say, I want these terms. And usually they're polar opposites. They're to the extreme. Recognizing that we're going to get to some sort of agreement that's going to be hopefully mutual between both parties, that is somewhere probably in the middle. So you start far, you come into the middle. That's a typical negotiation. In that negotiation, oftentimes you've got to be able to just walk away. You've got to say, I'm out. This is off. The whole thing is off. And that tends to bring people back to the table to negotiate, to get some leeway there on their side. Because if you have an individual that you're working with and they just will not move, I want the world, I want everything to be lopsided on my side, and I'm not moving, it's very difficult to get that type of a person to move towards the middle to a mutual agreement without saying, I'm out of this agreement. There is no deal. We're done. The whole thing's off. And that tends to get people to move. And I think that was the perception of the president when he got out of those particular international agreements. And we'll talk about that as we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
At Nationwide Vision, you can get two pairs of eyeglasses for just $99.99, including no-line bifocals. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit NationwideVision.com. Taking care of Arizona's eyes for 35 years. Nationwide Vision.
Be sure to listen to the Border Reports each morning for information on border crossing wait times and the Traffic Reports each afternoon, Monday through Friday. You'll receive up-to-date road closures and restrictions due to construction or road repairs. Get the information you need with the Border Crossing and Road Reports, brought to you by RV World, serving Yuma since 1966, located on Gila Ridge Road. Exit Interstate 8 at Arabee Road, then west on Gila Ridge about a quarter mile. RV World, be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home, from buying and selling, brought to you by... When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PHD 344-9111.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons and stuff like that. And we have been talking to this point of some of the consequences of last Tuesday's election. Obviously, it's still not over. We've got litigation going on in a myriad of states. And we're still going to see the results of this in a little bit, but we don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Like we mentioned at the very beginning, the media talked about how Biden is the vice president, or excuse me, the president-elect, but we still haven't decided about that here personally, or locally in Arizona. Russ is pushing stuff in my face, so I'm trying to talk and read at the same time. But we will find out probably by the 30th. I mean, today we're going to have a better understanding as to how the votes are put together, and we're also going to have a better understanding tomorrow. I think ultimately probably will be the final count, I'm guessing. I mean, we've got about 70,000 left to count here in Arizona, but ultimately we've got until the 30th to get those votes over to the Electoral College and certified so that they can vote accordingly. And the text that Russ was trying to have me read was about the Electoral College, and it's from a buddy of ours, Mr. Townsend. You want to read that?
Oh, sure. It said in Arizona, electors are appointed by the representative of the respective state party chairs, which we already knew, and their names actually appear on the ballot. So when you're voting, you're actually, that's who's elected is the Electoral College.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not done after the vote. It's done before the vote.
Right,
it shows
exactly.
Up on the ballot.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to make that clear, which is nice of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Phil. And again, going back to the party that wins, that's their vote. The people that were voted in on that ballot measure, those are the ones that are appointed.
Coming forward. And hopefully they all follow what they're supposed to. I mean, there has been a rare occasion where Electoral College
member will vote otherwise, but they are bound.
Yeah, they are bound legally to do that, but, you know, you might have a rogue person out there. That happens.
Yeah.
I've never seen it happen in my lifetime, but yeah, I guess you would have to, there is a person out there that could do that. So getting back to the changes over the break, we were talking about, is it really going to be, if Biden is truly elected and he will be our president in 2021, will that dramatically change things? And my argument to Russ was that I personally don't think so. I mean, he's been in this business for 47 years and hasn't really got much accomplished. I don't think 4 years will change that. I don't think he has a lot of power domestically to get things done. Now, internationally, that's a different story, and we were talking about this right before the break. That's where the damage can happen. We talked about these Paris Accords. We talked about the nuclear deal in Iran that we got out of. These are all bad, bad deals for the United States. They're not on equal playing field. They weren't to our advantage. We actually get taken advantage of more so than anybody else in these agreements. And so they weren't good for us. And to get out or to say, you know what, in negotiations, I'm going to walk away. You have to be able to walk away and have the strength to do that and reap the consequences. And that's actually what the United States did under the Trump administration. And that's the area where we can see quick, swift action, because the President of the United States is the leader of the executive branch. And the executive branch, the president, is our commander-in-chief overseas. He doesn't need to go through Congress necessarily to get things done in foreign affairs. He can sign agreements, he can sign treaties with other nations, and so he can swiftly and easily, without anybody else's, when I say anybody else, I'm saying Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, they can be completely opposed to what he's doing, and he can still move forward with whatever he feels is the best for our nation. And that's what President Trump did when he got out of those agreements, and a Biden administration most likely will swiftly get back into them in some form or fashion. I mean, once the agreement's gone, the agreement's gone, but they might drum up or put back forth some sort of treaties or agreements that are going to be very similar to what they were under the Obama administration.
Do away with tariffs and allow China to start overwhelming our manufacturing again. But he says he's going to undo the tax cuts. Now, that's going to take Congress. You're right. And if he undoes the tax cut, that'd be effectively the biggest tax raise we've ever had.
And in the debates, he claimed that, you know, he's not going to raise taxes on the middle class at all, just the really rich people.
If he undoes the tax cuts, he will, because that cut the taxes for everyone. So he would be raising it for everyone to undo that.
But and let's just get something clear. He can't do that. And so that's the idea here.
Yeah, that would take Congress.
Congress, exactly. And so if we just think about it this way, the founders were not dummies. They knew what they were doing. I personally feel that they were divinely guided as to how they established our nation. I feel, and I truly believe, that God had a hand in developing the Constitution of the United States, our independence from Great Britain, and that he's had his hand over this nation ever since. So long as we keep remembering him and what he did for us, that's how I personally feel. And I think there is a lot of comfort in knowing that our three-branch system was designed for the ability to withstand tyranny. So whether you like the president that is the president elected at the time or not, you can take solace in the fact that they can't move or act on their own unless you've got executive order stuff happening. But even executive orders can be ruled unconstitutional. And it's very difficult to move things along as a president of the United States without getting the House of Representatives involved and the Senate. It's got to go through those bodies, and that was the whole purpose of the three-branch system. And so we can take solace in that, knowing that if the president in the White House is not the guy or the gal that we like, we know that there's some checks and balances. Now, if you have a three-branch system that is ruled by or dominated by one party, then you have problems. And that's what we see in California. So California has that system, but everything is ruled by one party, and so you have swift actions that are taking place by the executive branch, the judicial branch, and the legislative branch. They're all same party, and so boom, no more straws. You can't have a straw in California. You can't carry a firearm in the cab of your vehicle, and so these laws are very quickly promulgated, And they, to us, normal people, we're like, what?
Right.
What is happening?
I know.
But that's what happens when you have still a three-branch system that is overrun by the same political party.
When you say same political party, but the Democratic Party happens to be one of big government ideal. Its ideology is big government. So if it gets in there, it's all big. It's going to do all the things you just said. If Republicans took the whole thing over, it would still leave opportunity open for everything.
Yeah, but if you have separate parties in different branches of the government, it's very difficult to move legislation forward, even if it is passed in the House,
sure.
Goes to the Senate, and the Senate's
sure.
run. In this particular case, if Biden is elected, this is what we're projecting, if he is elected and he is the president of the United States, he can try to repeal the Trump tax
and
bill.
And he can undo
it. But it's going to be very difficult.
Executive orders. See, Obama ran on executive orders.
That's right.
And so did Trump, because Trump undid executive orders with executive orders.
But Bush was the same way. And so every president, I like to think of it as a toolbox that you're carrying around.
Mm-hmm.
And it started from the very beginning of our nation, as there are some powers of the executive branch that are, they are not enumerated. What that means is that they're not written. They're not written in the Constitution. But what's happened over the course of time of our nation is that the executive branch has taken a little bit of power here, a little bit of power there, or tools. The tools to go drone people over in Iraq. If the executive branch deems this person as a terrorist threat, then no questions asked, kill him through a drone attack. That was one of the actual issues in the Bush administration. After 9/11, it got really dicey. We were fighting a war that we'd never fought before, where you had people that were hiding in caves and bombing our military. It was a form or tactic that we hadn't realized, and so we took some extraordinary steps, and there were a lot of times where the Bush administration would take action and ask questions later. And so what happened was, when Bush Jr. was in office, in response to the 9/11 type terrorist threats, and you look back at history, and obviously, you know, you can justify what was done, because we experienced the greatest terrorist attack on U.S. soil during that administration. And so the response was going to be swift. And throughout the course of the Iraq War, we saw different things happening where we would apprehend these suspected terrorists, and we'd take them to Guantanamo without due process, without any questions asked, and throw them in a cell. They wouldn't really get an expedited hearing or anything like that. They would just be put in a cell. It's basically, you're guilty, and we're saying you're guilty. And that was a lot of the Bush administration's issues when it came to constitutionality, because the Constitution requires a process, a due process, that you can confront your accuser, and that you can you have a right to the evidence against you, so that you can contest that. Well, there was a label that was used during the Bush administration of a terrorist that was actually defined in Congress, and if you were labeled that, then you didn't have the rights to a speedy trial, or to know who your accuser was, or what you're being accused of, or what the evidence was against you. You just get stuck in Guantanamo. I tell you that because every president has taken tools, and I wouldn't say overstepped, because it's not even enumerated in our Constitution. But to get action done, they had to take certain steps. And when they take those steps, they gather these tools. I'm going to put this tool into my toolbox. I'm going to put this tool into my toolbox. And if the president in the White House is not your president, meaning he's not of your political party, oftentimes they get criticized for doing all these things. But in reality, what happens is, when it goes to the next president, that former president hands him this toolbox, because he's already taken these little powers, these little tools of doing these things that are not enumerated in the Constitution. The Supreme Court has not checked the power, and the Congress has not checked the power for whatever reason. They haven't impeached that president and removed him. And so now this executive branch is just gathering power, these little powers here and there. And it moves from president to president. Every president takes a little bit more power, through executive orders and through foreign affair-type war powers. And so it does matter who the president is when it comes to foreign affairs. It does matter, because they can They can do executive orders here domestically. Domestically, if they're going to do executive orders, those executive orders are still subject to Congress's snuffing them out. It would take a Supreme Court to get that done, but it is possible. Whereas treaties and foreign affair type things, it's very difficult for Congress to undo. That is the executive branch duty, is those foreign affairs agreements and treaties. And so the Senate and the House of Representatives are kind of out of the picture there. The Supreme Court as well, that is the executive branch's duty. So Biden can get a lot done if he's elected president in foreign affairs. Domestically, I don't see a lot of it happening, just because at this point it looks like the Republicans are still going to maintain the majority in the Senate. And the Senate is ultimately, you know, that's what you want for confirmation of Supreme Court justices. That's what you want for the ultimate say-so if a bill becomes a law. And so he'll be gridlocked, and that's on purpose. That's what our founders designed it to do. They didn't want a swift acting of one political party taking over and saying, here's the Green New Deal, shoving it down our throats. Here's Obamacare, shoving it down our throats. They didn't want that. And so they put this process in place. We've got to go to a break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM, KBLU. We'll be right back.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at GetCoolQuick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and we've been talking a lot about the election laws and things like that in Arizona. We talked about some of the predictions or the ramifications of this last election. It's still not over. The media has called it, obviously, for Joe Biden, but in reality, it's going to take some time, at least a month and a half, maybe even 2 months, and the Supreme Court has already weighed in on certain issues, especially in Pennsylvania, and has made a ruling there. And so the Supreme Court, to which President Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett, it turns out she is actually going to sit on cases and hear certain certain issues that are going to come before her that deal with the election. And that was what the Democrats that are part of the Judicial Committee that put forward the nominee of the Supreme Court Justice, that's what they were saying, is she cannot, or she should be conflicted out of sitting on any cases where the president appointed her as the Supreme Court Justice. Therefore, she should not be able to sit on any election type cases, because it would be a conflict of interest for her. I don't know how much value that argument has. There are a lot of those justices that are sitting right now that are Democratic and Republican that have sat on cases that had to do with the president that appointed them.
They were all appointed by presidents.
Yeah, exactly. And so that argument doesn't really hold up, but I'm so glad that we do have a constitutionalist, or originalist, I should say.
You like her.
Oh, I like her. She's fantastic. And she really was in the mold of Scalia. I think that was a fantastic way to describe her. I've read her opinions. I've read some of her law articles. And she is awesome. She's really good. If I were to select somebody, that's who I'd select. And what a model citizen as well to the United States, to show us how much can be done by a mom. Mothers are super human. They are just fantastic.
What she's done is like
incredible.
Super.
Incredible. And I think every little girl needs to know that.
Yep.
What's really interesting is when it comes down to it, especially when she was nominated, you would think that the Democratic Party would hail her as this advancing of women's rights and authority in the United States, but it was crickets on that.
She doesn't fit the narrative.
She doesn't fit their narrative, and it's really sad to me, because I saw her in those confirmation hearings. I watched all of them, and she is soft-spoken, but powerful. She's powerful because she's intelligent, and she has principles, and she doesn't waver from those principles, and that is powerful. And even in the light of, or in the face of adversity, where she was being grilled by an opposite party, she didn't even waver, and that is power.
She held her composure, and a lot of it were personal attacks.
But the media wants you to believe that the feminine power movement is about sexuality. It's how you dress. You have to dress aggressive. You have to act aggressive. You have to speak aggressive. Remember when Kamala Harris was in the vice presidential debate with the vice president?
She was condescending.
Excuse me, I'm speaking. Yeah. And that was, to the media and to the left, that was the
tone that they wanted?
Not the tone, but the manifestation of women power.
Really?
Which, to me, I was really embarrassed, actually, for her. I thought that was really rude of her.
Right.
Especially to Pence, who's like the nicest guy in the world. And I'm like, okay, that was obviously rehearsed. You come from California, we can tell that you rehearsed that. She was just waiting, chomping at the bit, like, to say that line. She had rehearsed it. It was completely obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their stuff is rehearsed. I could see it. I mean, when she would say a line, it was obvious she memorized it, that she had practiced that in the mirror. And the same with Biden. I mean, everything in those debates, he used the same lines over and over and over again. He uses the same lines in the debate, or in his, what do you call those, rallies. Like, I would watch his rallies. I'd watch his rallies. I'd watch Trump's rallies on YouTube. And he said the exact same thing over and over and over again. Obviously, he has cognitive impairments that don't allow him to actually go off the cuff. So he has to either memorize these stated lines and just stick to them, but he can't wing it, that's for sure. Without a teleprompter, he's going to be in trouble, and we're going to start to see that even more. And so the left's promulgation of this powerful woman is embarrassing, really, to women, and it's actually offensive to me, because that's not a powerful woman. A woman that gets in your face and yells at you, it, like, okay, that's not powerful. What's powerful is to see a woman accomplish things and in a humble way, but yet with principles, stick to her guns and be kind about it and be powerful about it, like Amy Coney Barrett was in those confirmation hearings. I was very impressed with her. She showed that women can do anything in this country and still have morals and principles and children.
Yep.
Little children, and get things done. And I think that was what a wonderful advancement of femininity in our country. But yet, the Democratic Party that's all about feminism, supposedly, didn't say anything about it. They wanted to talk about Kamala Harris's comment to Vice President Pence, which was incredibly rude and out of place, and it was memorized, and she just waited for her moment to say that. But to the left, that is their perception of a woman, of powerful women, is outspoken and in your face, and there are no ways to compromise and to dress in a way that's immodest. That's what they project as women power, and it's false. It's a false narrative, and it's embarrassing, really. And I feel bad for them, because that's not going to advance femininity in our country. What does is the way that Amy Coney Barrett conducted herself in those confirmation hearings. It was very impressive, and the whole world saw it, and the whole world was impressed. It wasn't like, oh, it's just because I agree with her politically that I aligned with her and I saw her in a good light. It was, I came into this with an objective, with a very, in the middle type blank canvas as to who Amy Coney Barrett was, and I left that particular confirmation hearing process with the idea that she is awesome, she's fantastic, and everybody that viewed it had the same conclusion. The Democrats that were there and part of that committee, they had the same conclusion. They still had pointed questions to her, but it wasn't about her. It was about how she would rule, how it pertained to the president, but it wasn't about her. And you could see that they respected her by the end of that confirmation hearing. They honestly, it seemed like, were embarrassed that they had to ask those questions. They didn't have to ask those questions, but they were embarrassed. And they actually apologized to her at the very end of the hearing, process. And that goes to show the power of a woman that has principles, that sticks to her guns in a polite but powerful way and doesn't waver and still can show, I am a woman and I'm powerful. And I don't need to get in your face. I don't need to yell at you about it. I'm talking. She can be respectful and powerful, and she showed everybody in the world that, and it was wonderful to see. We've got to go. This has been another edition of Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com. If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Air Conditioning and Heating Studio. This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.